Church. Good morning to you all on this very special Christmas Eve. It's not very often. It seems like it's been a long time since we've had a Christmas Eve morning service. They've all been typically in the evenings, but so great to have you here. If you're a guest of ours, we have a lot of folks here. So good to see so many of you, and we'll have to catch in with you after service, but so great to have all of our guests here today, and we're so thankful that you have joined us. You can be seated for a few moments, and if you've a guest of ours and would like to connect with you, and out in our kiosk, we just have there's a little check-in station out there, and if you'd like to take and just leave us your name, your address, your telephone number, social security number, bank account number, just a little bit of, I'm just joking, okay? All of you just went, oh no. We have a small gift for you, and I think this week's small gift is a 120-foot yacht. That's it's Christmas, right? No, we just have a small gift for you. It's probably going to be more like a gift card to Starbucks or something of that nature. But or you can go online, and you can connect there with CG, our Connect Bit.ly link. We have some giving options out in the vestibule. We have some boxes out on the wall by the doors coming in. If you could give, if you'd like to give in person, or you can take and go to our website as well. You can see there on the overhead different ways that you can give in person, by mail, or mobile giving. And so we appreciate your sacrificial giving here at Calvary Gospel Church. And we love and appreciate all of you today. We also have a Christmas for Christ video promotion that I think is going to be starting at about any time now here. So God bless you. We'll be right back. I have one Christmas wish. That our Christmas for Christ videos would get the sound and audio together. How many of you feel like you're watching a Chinese movie with subtitles? I'm sorry. This week, on our Wednesday evening, there'll be no midweek service. And our regular service schedule, we're going to begin back on next Sunday. So next Sunday, New Year's Eve, will be a normal service schedule. So we'll have our 10 o'clock Bible study, adult Bible study with Sunday school, and then 11 o'clock worship service. And going into the week of January 8th now, on Monday through Friday. So January 8th, we're going to have 8th through the 10th, excuse me. We're going to have 3 days of prayer and fasting. So if you want to take and put that on your calendars, we'll be letting you know more about that as we get closer to that. And January 14th, we're going to have a service full of worship and some testimonies celebrating what God is doing. So we're excited about that as well. If we could just stand. And once again, it's so great to see so many friends and family here for our Christmas season. And we just want to take and pray and bless this service. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all together here together safely. And I ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon this service. Lord, as we worship and as we praise your name, Lord, we're so thankful that you came so many years ago. Lord, not just so we could celebrate and have exchange gifts, Lord, but so that we could have the gift of eternal life. And Lord, we love you and we thank you and we appreciate. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Worship with us. If you want to be seated, you can be seated. If you'd like to come down to the front, you're welcome to do that. But God bless you.
Of our dear Savior. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every air's conference. Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets.
He's come for us.
Jesus in the darkness.
He's come to
every air for us. Jesus for my family.
We speak the holy name.
The holy name. Jesus.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy.
For my family,
Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Your family, your children, and their children, and their children.
May His presence go before and behind and beside, all around you and within you. He is with you, He is with you.
In the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, He is with you. In your weeping, rejoicing. Listen to this. He is for you. He is for you.
May His favor be upon you.
and a thousand generations of your family and your children and their children and their children.
Sing His presence,
presence, go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you.
In the morning, in the evening,
when you're coming and you're going,
and you're going,
when you're weeping and rejoicing
and rejoicing,
He is for you.
He is for you.
He is for you.
Send
me His favor.
Your favor
be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children. Children and their children, His presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping and rejoicing. He is for you.
Praise the Lord again, church. Such a sweet presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. One other thing before we get started, if you could just stand with me just for a few more minutes. We have a number of families. Our family Christmas kind of got postponed for a few weeks because this flu, COVID, and all this garbage is kind of all going around again. And I know Brother Brunker, I think, was taken to the emergency room today. Sister Jeanette Thunder, I believe, has COVID. Our family has it. My Lori, Bryce, Brooke, Olive. So how many of you have family members that are sick today or you know someone? Let's just pray before we start into this service. Lord, I pray, Lord, for all of our family, all of our friends that are sick. Lord, so much of this is going around, God, and it's bad enough to be sick, but then be sick over the holidays, over Christmas. Lord, I pray, God, that your hand would be upon each and one of these families, that a healing touch would come on to these families. Brother Bronker, who's in the emergency room, Lord, I pray for it, my brother. You would touch them. Lord, I pray, God, you would touch Sister Jeanette Thunder and Lana and Marvin and Bryce and Brooke and Carl, all of those that are sick with this COVID, with this crud, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. It's also good. You can be seated. It's also good to have the Word of Life congregation. Brother Sister Lomax with us here this morning. And for those of you that maybe don't remember, but we do have some newlyweds here this morning. Brother Ben, Sister Lori, were married a week ago Friday, and they just got back from their honeymoon. So if you see them sitting a little bit closer and a little bit more cuddly, that's because they got a license for this now, so they can... We're going to leave that one alone. Welcome to this Christmas Eve service, all of family and friends and members here of Calvary. We're so great to have, such an honor to have you here. On behalf of Sister Lois and I, we just want to wish you a very, very Merry Christmas. I'm going to read very traditional here this morning. I'm going to read from second chapter of the book of Luke from the King James. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And we thought maybe our government was the first one to do that. And all went to be taxed, everyone unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, last week, our children's ministry did a phenomenal job in our children's drama program depicting, I just love that, Sergeant Joe Sabbath. That was pretty good. But when we think of this story, we think of all the details, and so many things come to my mind when I begin to think about the Christmas story. I think about how God had planned all of this out, how he plans everything out. You look at creation, and I'm just amazed at creation and I the whole founding of the Jewish nation. You look at how God set this plan up with Abraham, and it went all the way from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and through Joseph and went on. And so much of this makes perfect sense to me, reading it 4,000 plus years after it all took place. It makes perfect sense. When you look at all of this, God has always had a plan. You may be sitting here today and you may be asking yourself, maybe your life is a little bit out of tweak and things aren't going quite as you thought, but God always has a plan. And he has a plan for you and he has a plan for me, and God's plan for your life is good. It's for your benefit, and it's a plan that you're going to love.
It doesn't mean that that plan is going to be free of any kind of pain. It doesn't mean that that plan is always going to be convenient and work out perfect timing in everything you have planned for your life. This was particularly true when it came to the birth of Jesus. We look at these circumstances. We look at Mary and you look at Joseph. And I've talked to, it's so great to see Pat and Shelley O'Malley here and their family. And just good to have in so many other families, the Carters and the Sandons. And you can look across and I saw Felicia somewhere back over here, Darren. There they are. I mean, all of these people had to make plans to be here today. And I can guarantee that if you asked each one of these families, was this a convenient time to travel? They would probably say, no, Christmas would work better if it was warmer weather, if it was July, September, maybe August. But in December when it's cold and we're from the south, and there's a better time. And when we look at the circumstances for Mary and Joseph, they were hardly convenient circumstances. The Bible tells us that at the time we read that Emperor Augustus Caesar ordered a census of the entire Roman Empire. Now, if you look at the Roman Empire at that time of history, at that time period, they controlled about 90% of the world. Now, so Joseph had to go from Nazareth, a city in Galilee, to Bethlehem, a city in Judea. And he had to go there with Mary, his wife, and they had to register in this census, and they had to pay a tax. Now, she had been promised, there had been a marriage. She had been promised to Joseph in marriage, and it was a little difficult because they hadn't technically been married, and Mary came up pregnant. And we can read this in chapter 2 of Luke. And while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have her child. And as they prepared to face their role as parents, they had already been told by the angels that this wasn't just going to be any child, that this was going to be the Messiah. He was going to be the Savior of the world, and Mary was going to deliver, have this birth. I mean, what? It's one thing to just have a baby. It's another thing to have a baby out of wedlock in that particular day and age. And it's another thing to have a baby that's been declared to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Talk about a little bit of pressure there. As they prepared for their role and they had heard that Caesar had issued the census and everybody had to go back to their ancestral town, let's put that in perspective today. Imagine today if the governments of the world says that everyone must go back to the town of their birth for a worldwide census and tax. And that everyone on this planet, all 7.5 billion people, were all traveling at the same time, looking to book the same airplanes and the same trains, and they're trying to fill up at the same gas stations and truck stops, and they're all fighting for the same food and motel rooms. Can you imagine if everyone alive on the planet today that was born in Madison, Wisconsin, had to come back to Madison? Just think about that for a minute. We think holiday traffic is a high when you've got 25 million people flying across the country. Imagine 7 billion people trying to get across the world. We're just focusing in on just one little portion of the world, but all of the world at that time had the same order. If Joseph would have been married or would have been born in Rome, he would have had to have gone to Rome to pay his tax. Every train, every plane, every automobile was booked. This would be an incredibly frustrating and remarkably inconvenient trip to take. Now, can you imagine how inconvenient that would be if you had to travel that distance by donkey? I think the Carters probably from New York, and you're from Louisiana. New York might be a little further than Louisiana. I'm not for sure. You're about 12 hours away, give or take. 15, what are you, Travis? 15. Imagine if your whole family had to come here by donkey. And then at the end of it all, you're going to have to get taxed. What a celebration. What something to look forward to. And oh, by the way, your wife is pregnant and she's ready to give birth at any time. So good luck on that donkey ride. You see, that's what happened. That was the inconvenient part of this story. But it gets better. They finally get to Bethlehem, and they couldn't find. All the motel rooms were booked, all of the Holiday Inns, all the bed and breakfasts, and all the houses, people that rent out their home, all of that's booked. There's no place for them to stay. They've got nothing. And here Mary is most, most uncomfortable. I remember, there's some things I don't remember about my wife being pregnant, but there's some things I remember well. And I remember literally the night before our daughter Lana was born, that it was a church night. And Lois is like, I'm not going to church. I'm just not feeling up to this. And I mean, she was like beach ball out front, and and you're just looking at her, and she just, people say pregnant ladies look beautiful, but listen, it was not that case. I love my wife, but she looked like if she could kill me, she would just gut me out and lay right there. And I made a fatal mistake. Jan Rager said, hey, you want to go out to Mark's Big Boy for a hamburger? And I'm like, sure. Wasn't a good thing to do. I come home late. She's standing there at the door. She's got her bag packed. I'm like, what's going on? She says, I think tonight's the night, and you're at church late. Where were you? I'm like, well, I went out with Aunt Jan, and I'm going to blame this on her. She's not here. Listen, it didn't take any rocket scientists to figure out that I boo-booed. I messed up. And here I can't imagine Joseph having to come back. Mary, been on that donkey for days now. And he has to come back to her and say, listen, hon, I don't know what to tell you. But I can't find a room. I don't know what we're going to do. But the innkeeper here was nice enough. He said he's got a little barn out back. It's got some animals in it. Maybe we can clear out a spot, sleep for the night. And she's just like, she gives him that look like, are you kidding me? Are you serious with this? I'm going to have my baby in a barn with manure and with cows and with sheep and with goats and with chickens and all of this stuff. At least they were Jewish, there was no pigs. But you see, none of these circumstances around Jesus' birth were convenient. None of it. But, and I don't know why, but they were all part of God's plan. It had been a long foretold story, prophecy, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. the Savior of the world, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, is going to be born in Bethlehem. And the inconvenience to get them there were part of a bigger plan that God had, not just for Mary and Joseph, not just for the people of that day, but the bigger part of this plan would someday include even as far as you and I. And this plan was bigger and it was better than anything that they could ever have dreamed. You see, Mary and Joseph trusted God through their discomfort, trusted God through their fear. They trusted God through the inconvenience. They trusted God through the pain. And today, you and I can trust that all the things that God does in our lives, He does it because He knows best. He knows best. Now we have to understand something, that yes, God, He might just use some inconveniences to get you where you need to be. But He's always working for your good, and He's always working out to fulfill His purpose in your life. I love what the psalmist says in Psalms chapter 31, verse 15. He tells us that my future, remember, I've talked about the Word of God as something that we all need to personalize. This Bible was written to me, but it was also written to you, Brother Dennis, Sister Hannah. It was also written to Brother John Repka, and it was written to each and every one of us personally. We need to personalize it. So when he says, my future is in his hands, we need to say that, yes, my future is in his hands. And we can have hope that Scripture, that indeed our future, all that may happen tomorrow, is in his hands. Now, during this Christmas season, perhaps more than ever, our world today is in desperate need of hope. I read the news, and sometimes, I'm just being honest with you, my wife gets aggravated at me sometimes. She's like, why don't you just turn that dumb news app off? I have it on my phone, and sometimes it's a number of different news sources, and sometimes every one of them just frustrates me. Look at everything that's going on in the world and everything that's going on in our country. And listen, church, we need hope. We need hope. We need hope that comes from knowing that we're safe. Can't imagine what it would be like to go to bed at all through the night and have to sleep with one ear open, per se, listening for any rockets that may be flying overhead. I've never had to sleep under those conditions, Brother Lomax. I just go to bed and it's quiet. You wake up. I've never had to worry about somebody shooting through my house in the middle of the night. I don't know what that would be like. But we need hope that comes from knowing that we're safe. We need hope that comes from being confident that our future will be okay. I look at our world today and I read these surveys on how so many of our younger generation, they have no confidence that they're going to have the same future that their parents had or their grandparents had. I want to be able to be confident that my grandchildren are going to have a peaceful future. I have that hope. We need hope that comes from knowing that there's actually is hope, that there is good news, that there is this gospel story. that Jesus came, Emmanuel, God with us. He came to fulfill a masterful plan of instead of being God with us, he wanted to be God in us. And I'm so thankful that I can have that hope, that if I desire today to have the King of Glory residing inside of my life, in my heart, I have that hope today. I have hope that there's good news. The gospel is the good news. What is the good news? It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why he came. That's why everything in this story was just an inconvenience, because to a degree it was an inconvenience. But there's abundant hope, and we can have abundant hope that he is Lord over all. But you see, Jesus didn't only come into the world to save us from our sins. Scripture tells us that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But another thing, he came, and another reason that he came, and I believe it has ever been as important as the first one, but he came into this world to put all things under his authority and to right the wrongs that had been done through the actions of sin upon humanity. He came to correct that. And what a comfort we can have in knowing that when times are difficult, when times are uncertain, and the ground beneath our feet may be shaky, when so many voices want us to believe that they have the ultimate power to guide our lives and to decide our lives or ruin our lives, that they don't have the ultimate power. Caesar ordered all the world to come to be taxed. Little did he realize that in that process was going to be born a king that was going to declare that all power and all authority in the world and heaven and in earth and beneath the earth is mine. Is mine. The future, he wants to bring everything in heaven and earth under his authority and his rule. And everything will clearly behold his power. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that indeed he is the ultimate authority in all of the world. But for now, we have to trust. We have to trust. You must trust that God is working all things out to a desired end for your good. But not just for your good, but for your family's good. And not just for your family's good, but for your community's good. And for all of humanity's good. And he's going to work it out for the good of humanity. And he's going to work it out for his glory. All things are in my control, and I love you, is what God is telling us today. As you trust me, you will experience that hope that comes from being firmly planted in me. We have to understand that Jesus has ultimate rule over all that live. He has ultimate rule over all powers and all principalities. And he's never surprised by anything that happens in our lives, or he's never surprised or caught off guard by anything that happens within the world that we live in. God didn't wake up a few weeks ago and just say, oh, my word, what am I going to do now? Hamas is at it again. How am I going to fix this one now? No, none of this, God isn't surprised. He's never surprised by anything that happens in our lives or in the lives of the nations of the world. Ephesians 1:21 tells us that he is seated. I love this scripture. This gives me hope today. He is seated far above all rule and authority, all power and dominion and every title that can be given now and in the age to come. There is no king, there is no president, there is no ruler, there is no judge who has the ultimate power, because all powers are subjected to him. He has all authority. He has all authority in the future. He has had all authority in the past. And we will fully know and see that authority in action, for he is indeed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And during uncertain and unexpected and difficult times, we must keep our eyes firmly fixed on him. As we wait for his good and his beautiful and his redemptive plan to unfold in our lives. Hebrews 12:2 reads like this: looking to Jesus, the author, the founder, the author, the perfecter, the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. There is a certain hope. Jesus, God, Emmanuel with us. He alone is God. I love how the psalmist declares it in Psalms 18, verse 31. For who is God besides the Lord? The psalmist is making it very clear that, you know, there is none beside my God. If we can stand to our feet this morning, and if our worship team can come. For who is beside the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? My prayer this Christmas Eve is that we can all be thankful that we serve a God who, Brother Repke, is a God of all authority, who is a God of authority in heaven and in earth above and beneath. And we can thank him today that he's not a corrupt authority, but he is a loving authority. He is a kind authority, and he is an authority that cares for us all. And we can thank him that all power, I'm so thankful that my God has all power. He and he alone has all power, and it belongs to him. And that all things are working out to our desired and good end. Oh, is there going to be problems? Yeah. Are there going to be inconveniences on your journey? Yeah. Is everything going to work out exactly how you had planned it? No. But it's going to work out how he plans it. So as we close out this Christmas Eve, I know we all have places to go, families, gifts will be open. Perhaps some of you have turkeys. You know, I had to go through and mention food. It's in my notes. I have to do that. Some of you are going to have turkey. Some of you are probably going to have brisket. How many of you got a brisket on the smoker? Rossings, you got steaks going on, I believe. You shared that with us. Save one for me. We have a lot of things planned. Is everything going to go perfect? No. Is everything convenient? No, not necessarily. But it's all going to work out to our desired and good end. I want to thank you once again for joining us here in this very special Christmas Eve service. And from all the staff here at Calvary Gospel Church, our pastoral team, we want to wish you a very merry and a very safe, relaxing, and peaceful Christmas season. And a very blessed 2024. Sister Lois and I, we love and appreciate you all very, very much. You've been so kind and so very generous to us. We love you and we appreciate you. And may God richly bless you. As we close out this service, I just want to open up this time in the front. As our worship team begins to sing, you can feel free to come to the front. Thank the Lord. I'm thankful. I'm thankful to see all of you today. I'm thankful for family. I'm thankful for friends. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful for hope. Thankful for health. God bless you.